Our next devotional reading comes from James W. Alexander, a Presbyterian pastor in Virginia in the mid-1800s. It's called Pray for the Spirit. In order to have mighty and unexampled revival, what we especially need is for the whole church to be down on its knees before God. Past redemptions should make our cravings great. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it, says the Lord in Psalm 81:10. Oh, that God's people were awake to the privilege of crying aloud for his great gift. Every great awakening and plentiful harvest of souls has proceeded from the same Spirit, sought by the same importunity of beseeching prayer. Therefore, pray for the Spirit. The influence of the Holy Spirit of God is exceedingly powerful. We ask for something mighty and revolutionizing. We are praying for omnipotence. A wicked city, a wicked world will yield to no inferior strength. What an encouragement that in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, says the prophet Isaiah. It is as applicable to revival of the church as to the building of the temple. As Zechariah said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Let Christians no longer despair in the conversion of high-handed sinners, even the vilest of the vile, in our filthiest and bloodiest places, as if we expected an answer to our prayers only some weak halfway operation. Our gospel, says the apostle of the Gentiles, came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. This is our ground of hope, when the ministers of the word proclaim the glad tidings that the preaching may be in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. God grant us deliverance from our unbelief as to the power of the Holy Spirit in giving efficacy to the truth. The apostles themselves sought for utterance by means of prayer, and a praying church will have a ministry and members who are bold and loving in owning and recommending their Lord. The supplications that bring down such influences are themselves wrought of God when believers, keeping themselves in the love of God, are at the same time praying in the Holy Spirit. See thus how completely dependent we are for all upon the Holy Spirit of God. Grace manifestly began the work. Grace keeps it alive. Grace must carry it on and give it extension. Brethren, we must pray as we have never yet prayed. Our lack of success is due to our coldness of desire and of request. We are not limited in God, but in our own low, slender conceptions and hopes. We have not because we ask not. If we were under a deep and solemn impression of the divine power and bounty and faithfulness, how should one chase 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight? The lesson that the revival should teach us is the duty of being instant in supplication for the larger and more glorious effusion of the Holy Spirit. Acting on this, we shall behold new marvels of love in the place of prayer. Indeed, we can think of nothing more likely to compel the attention of worldly and violent, blasphemous men and women than a mighty tide of revival, pressing its repeated waves into their miserable homes and hearts. Bad influences are propagated thus. Why not good influences? All through the electric circle of a certain class, 1 hour will suffice to thrill the morbid, passionate excitement of a prize fight, a murder, or a rising mob. Why should not the same human conductors bear such impulses as have driven multitudes to hear a Luther, a Whitfield, or a Spurgeon? Would to God that we would see the day in which the messages of salvation and the meeting for prayer would be crowded. Nothing will affect this but great unexampled awakening, and for this we are to pray. If we carefully read what our blessed Lord spoke in the parable concerning the two sons, we shall see that these are the people who not only need the truth, but who are accessible to its power. Jesus said unto them, Verily, the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. When in so remarkable a manner God is displaying his readiness to convert great numbers to himself, all who fear his name and love the souls of men ought to be prostrate before him in beseeching cries that he would vouchsafe to urge the work of grace more widely and profoundly through the depraved multitude. As certainly as faith and love beget prayer, so certainly will prayer beget action. the blind and vicious from whose ranks the levies are made for riots and prisons, will not flock to the preached word until some fresh and irresistible influence affecting the whole population finds its way to the very scenes of their sin. Prayer for such an influence from the Spirit is clearly laid upon us as a duty.